Life is pretty fast-paced, let's face it, for most people, okay? And a lot of things on the go. You can understand that it's very easy for people to come out of balance, you know, whether it's physical balance, emotional balance, or mental balance, yeah? It becomes really important then to cultivate something which is a real central theme in yoga is awareness. People have anywhere from 6,000 to 60,000 thoughts a day, yeah? And if you consider that science says that roughly about 80% of those thoughts are negative thoughts every day, yeah? That's a lot of thinking. And that's also, in my mind, that's a lot of wasted mental energy.
Herzlich willkommen zu meiner neuen Folge Different. Heute hatte ich das Glück, mit Eric Benevitz zu sprechen. Er ist Yoga-Studio-Besitzer hier aus Hamburg und Experte für Meditationstechniken. Wir haben gesprochen über die Corona-Krise, über Remote-Yoga-Kurse, aber vor allen Dingen haben wir darüber gesprochen, wie wichtig es ist, Awareness für sich selber zu schaffen, insbesondere in unserer rein digitalen, höher, schneller, weiter Welt. Hallo Eric.
Hi,
Thank
Stefan.
You for being my guest today
yeah,
in my
thanks
podcast,
for having me.
Different. You are a founder of Peace Out Yoga in Hamburg and
yes.
also an expert for some yoga techniques and also meditation techniques. And
yeah.
I'm really looking forward to talk about all that today. And I'm very happy to have you here because you are not so a typical digital native.
No, I'm not.
Not really. And what I see and hear always is that the topics in every podcast and media and conversation when it comes to digitization, it always about technologies and business and higher, faster, further. And I think especially in the Corona times where the pressure is so high and that the personal or the thinking about a person and people, we don't talk so often about that. And I think it's very good to talk about mindfulness and reflection and what can we do in our higher, faster, further world and
yeah.
the society with some techniques which are more than through the 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
And that are our topics for today.
Yeah, sure.
But perhaps we can start with you, who you are, where you're from, and please, Eric, tell me something about you.
About me, yeah. Well, it's kind of interesting that you start off with something of like a question like, who am I? Because the who am I is a very yogic question. It's probably the ultimate yogic question, really, who are we?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, living in this life, you know, I think I wear many different hats. So I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm a husband, I'm a dad, and yoga teacher, if you want to call it a yoga teacher or yoga guide, and meditation teacher in the case of Yoga Nidra. And we also have, we're a studio owner, or I'm a studio owner with my partner, Ava Sasa. And we have our studio in Barmbek North here in Hamburg here called Peace Out Yoga for the last, I think it's 4 years now. Yeah.
Cool. And why did you do this step to open your own studio, be an entrepreneur?
Yeah.
Is it your passion?
Yeah. Well, I was an entrepreneur in my life before yoga came into my life. And so maybe that some of that has stuck with me. But the decision to open Peace Out Yoga for ourselves came about for a couple of reasons. One was the birth of our son, our first child, Kai. And I was traveling more and teaching around Germany and Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to be at home more and spend more time here mm-hmm. in Hamburg. And so that reason coupled together that Ava and I had felt that it was the right time now with the experiences that we've had in yoga and meditation and the knowledge that we've accumulated, that it was the right time to open and share that with the community in Barmbek North and for anybody that's interested in Hamburg or anywhere else that's coming to Hamburg.
My thoughts beyond different is that we only can work with these challenges today and in the future with a different way of thinking, different way of working, different piece of technology and business and everything.
Yeah.
And yoga is over 1,000 or 3,000 years old, so a long time.
More, yeah.
And now I hear, it's very interesting to hear that you adapt these history and what everything what you learned and put this in a very customer centricity way of working with some little sections and and programs with only 5 minutes and so on. But what we can learn about the history for our daily challenges.
Yeah. Okay. So I think a good place to start with that is to take a look at daily life in Western society right now, right? So life is pretty fast-paced, let's face it, for most people, okay? And a lot of things on the go. So you can understand that it's very easy for people to come out of balance, you know, whether it's physical balance, emotional balance, or mental balance, yeah? So then it becomes really important then to cultivate something which is a real central theme in yoga is awareness, yeah? So often, you know, we are exuding our five senses to what's going on in the outside world. So let's call that the external world, right? And in yoga, it teaches us to bring the senses back in towards ourselves. So let's call that the internal world, you know, your mind and your body, right? So awareness is a very big theme in yoga and meditation. Yeah. So if we take that awareness and then we apply it to yoga and meditation, and we're focusing more on bringing our awareness into the body and into the mind, then we can take a look at how does that affect us in our body. So when we're practicing, let's say, even the body movements, which are called asana in yoga, in practicing those asana, some wonderful things can come up, like you have a more accepting feeling for your body the way it is in whatever condition it is, right? You're not as critical of your body, for example, right? You are more in tune with your body. Because, you know, the other thing that happens in today's life, I find, is that a lot of people tend to live from the neck up only, yeah? So they're very much in the head, very much in their thoughts, maybe because of the type of work they do or their life situation or circumstance. But then coming back into their body will help them come out of their head and out of their thoughts a little bit. So this less criticalness of the body and more acceptance of the body can help them, maybe lead them to things like, you know, more, let's say, healthy eating habits, for example. And that all kind of happens really naturally and almost effortlessly because, you know, these things are happening on a deeper level in the mind when we're practicing yoga. The other thing that helps for people in these times and also that is yoga based is breathing. Yeah. So breathing is something that we don't normally think about during our day. Yeah. So but when we take some time, just a few minutes in our day, perhaps if you have, whether it's 3 minutes or more. Yeah. Just to sit down and just allow yourself to decompress and settle into breathing and just allowing yourself to breathe more from what's called diaphragmic breathing, just like breathe, otherwise known as belly breathing, yeah? And just belly breathing, because a lot of people aren't breathing optimally, yeah? Optimal breathing to me is when you can breathe most of the time relaxed from the belly. And most people are breathing, or a lot of people are breathing from the chest up here, yeah? And this tends to cause a little more anxiety, or a little more tension, let's say. So when we can learn to breathe from the belly a little bit more, a few minutes or more in the day, that helps to relax the nervous system, right? And when you can relax the nervous system and you can be a little more aware of your breathing, and when you're a little more aware of your breathing, then you can, in those stressful moments in your day, take a moment and just focus on your breathing, and then it'll start to maybe ease into more of this belly breathing and relax the nervous system. And that has a really positive effect You'd be surprised on your physical body, on your mental awareness, and also just allowing you to more easily maybe come into focus and be more relaxed in the center of chaos, so to speak, sometimes in our lives.
Only 3 or 4 minutes breathing or concentrate on breathing.
Whatever time you have. You know, like often, you know, a student perhaps in our classes might say, you know, can you tell me, like, I have a big presentation tomorrow at the work. Can you recommend something to do?
Breathing.
And, yeah. And so one of the first things I recommend to them is one of the simplest things we can do is just sit down for a moment or even standing and just draw your awareness in towards yourself and just focus on your breathing and just maybe put your hand on your belly and let your breath breathe in and your belly expands and breathe out and your belly contracts, right? And just let the breath come in and out. It's diaphragmic breathing. But the most valuable thing that can that I think that yoga and meditation can translate into the daily life of people is our relationship of our with our thoughts. Yeah, so transforming the relationship of our thoughts is a very powerful thing that can happen, especially through meditations like the one that we teach most dominantly at our studio, Yoga Nidra.
It's a meditation technique.
It's a meditation method. Yeah, it's one of many. Yeah, but I would say a few more words on it in a moment because it's so simple. But if you consider for a moment, like people. According to science, yeah, people have anywhere from 6,000 to 60,000 thoughts a day. Yeah. And if you consider that science says that roughly about 80% of those thoughts are negative thoughts every day. Yeah. That's a lot of thinking. And that's also, in my mind, that's a lot of wasted mental energy. Yeah. So when we're practicing things like yoga, when we're practicing things like meditation, or in the case of our studio, Yoga Nidra, we can take that awareness, draw it away from the external world and just draw it in more towards our internal world, and then learn to decompress and have this relationship with our thoughts where we're not always participating in our thoughts and always believing our thoughts, but being able to more observe them. Does that make sense? Yeah, so just kind of to be able to kind of step back for a moment and learn to, I guess a good word would be to be less reactive and to be more responsive, yeah? There's a difference between the two. And I guess an example of that, I can give you a good example, a simple example that I use in my Yoga Nidra teacher training is this one. You come into work in the morning, and your boss approaches you, and the first thing they say is, I want to see you in my office in 5 minutes. That's it. Yeah.
Okay. So then I have a lot of bad energy thoughts.
Okay. So that is interesting that you say that, right? So, and everybody will be different. Okay. Some people might think, oh, well, I'm going to get promoted or something, but you know, more often than not, the stories start to happen into the mind, right? So then it starts to become a snowball effect, yeah? So you can start to see where, and this is also very a strong part of the Yoga Nidra meditation that I teach, is that you start to see the connection that the mind has to the breath and to the body. Yeah, so for example, in that moment, while these stories are building up before you see your boss, things might happen where the mental activity, like you just said, they're going to give me trouble about something. Did I do something wrong? Am I unworthy? You know, all these kind of negative thoughts that we talked about, these 80% of negative thoughts creeping up. And then that starts to trickle down into your breathing. So what happens when you start to panic a little bit more, right? When you have these kind of worrisome thoughts, let's say, or anxiety thoughts, the breathing starts to move from the belly up into the higher chest.
Okay, it's a natural reaction.
It is. Yeah, this is a natural reaction into the body. So what's happening is essentially that your autonomic nervous system is kicking in to fight or flight or freeze response, right, it's called. So now in this fight or flight or freeze response, yeah, the breathing might become a little more erratic, a little quicker, and then that will start to affect the body. So maybe that person will start to sweat, maybe that person will start to shake, maybe that person may even faint, who knows, in the more extreme case, right? But you can see the connection that one affects the other.
Could you explain me more, or let us have a deep dive into yoga nidra, especially because when I think at meditation, for me in meditation, I need a long time, or I need a quiet place. I need more like 30 or 60 minutes. I need to practice it every day, and I need 2, 3, 5 years that I'm good in meditation. Yeah. Is that the reality?
There's no one meditation method that's suitable for everybody. Yeah, there's different meditation methods out there. And so because we all have different personalities, we all have different life circumstances, we all have different past life situations or experiences that we've had, and that it's all going to manifest into affecting what kind of method of meditation might suit us. So for a really simple example of that might be, you know, somebody that has very tight hips, may not enjoy, or I don't want to say enjoy, but may not lean more towards a seated meditation style in the beginning. It's possible to do, and I'm not saying don't do it, but another choice would be something like yoga nidra, where you're lying down, which is much easier on the hips. So that's the first thing I would clarify. But going into yoga nidra now, I would say that yoga nidra is a very simple practice, because you're lying down and because you're guided by another voice and another person. And in this lying down, yoga nidra it has two different meanings. So yoga nidra is the name of the practice, but yoga nidra is also the state of where you come into complete non-doing. And so this goes beyond the mind. And so in the practice of yoga nidra, we're basically using a culmination of techniques. And some of these techniques are based out of ancient yoga, like tantric yoga, for example, and which has nothing to do with the sexual side of that, and also more Western science techniques for relaxation, for example, autogenics training, or other kinds of body relaxation techniques. So what happens is the student is gently guided into these stages, through the stages. And in the style that I've learned, there's 8 stages. And that student is guided gently from using these body relaxation techniques to draw your awareness and your attention more into your body. And then you're taken through, things like what's called a body scan or a rotation of consciousness to further relax the body, and also to open more these neural pathways between the body parts and your brain. And that is very relaxing in releasing physical tension in the body. And then the student might be guided into breath awareness. So these are not necessarily breath control techniques like pranayama in yoga. These are just noticing your natural breath. So it's teaching the student to observe the breath more, right? And so that's also a very powerful method during the yoga nidra practice. And then combine that with something called experiencing of opposites. And experiencing of opposites can use sensations like heavy, light, warm, cold, or can go into with more experience using the opposite emotions. And one of the points of that is to help us and to help the mind drop out a little bit, so that, when we're thinking of one thing warm, after time, you know, certain amount of time, few minutes, few moments, few seconds, the mind will get bored and yeah. start to automatically go to its polar opposite. Okay. And so we're starting to cancel out the dualities mm-hmm. that we all have in our minds, mm-hmm. right? So the mind basically drops out, yeah? And so this is very freeing, yeah? And then once that happens, then a visualization or a journey is presented. Yeah, and then that culminates into the yoga nidra practice. And the yoga nidra practice is really based on natural sleep, because it takes you through the same pattern of brain waves as natural sleep. Mm-hmm. However, it does it in a shorter amount of time. And that's why often you'll hear students coming out of yoga nidra that say, wow, I really feel refreshed, awake, re-energized. Yeah, other students might come out of it feeling, I feel very calm, I feel very grounded. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody has their own experience, but that's a one that I hear a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because generally speaking, I haven't seen any specific science behind this to back it up. But there is this saying in yoga nidra world that 45 minutes of yoga nidra practice is about the same as 3 hours of regular sleep.
I have two questions. Did you teach this yoga nidra meditation method also for other people? And I think this is the first question. And the second one is, before Corona, did you offer the meditation technique only in your studios? Or also online, but when I think to my life, okay, it's interesting when I work together or use this method, yoga nidra, and I, with a little bit more practice, and when I do that more often, I can, I have the same effect like 3 hours sleep. I think, well, great performance boost for me.
Yeah. But we got to keep in mind that it's not a substitute for your regular sleep. Yeah.
Okay. So I have to sleep.
You still need your 7 to 9 hours a night. Yeah. Okay. And then yoga nidra is a complement to that. It's not a substitute for that.
Okay. Good to know. Yeah. Concrete, I can use your YouTube channel, and I start have a meditation episode from around 30-40 minutes, or how long is that?
Well, yeah, that's you know, just like in other methods of meditation, yoga nidra can be accommodated from as little, I would say, as 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, up to 45 minutes. I don't usually teach yoga nidras personally. You know, it varies from teacher to teacher, but I don't teach it more than 45, 50 minutes at the most.
Yeah. Yeah? Okay.
Just because for the students that I have who practice yoga nidra in the studio or online, not that they're lying too long on their back.
Yeah. Is it better for a beginner to start with a short or with a long?
Yeah, I would recommend like starting with a shorter, like I believe with your podcast, there is a 12-minute yoga nidra that I mm-hmm. yeah. would offer your viewers that they can try if they would like. And that's just 12 minutes. And that has all the 8 stages within it. And so even if you find that there's nothing wrong with, even if you find that if you're doing a 12-minute or let's say 15-minute yoga nidra practice and you're a complete beginner, is you can just do parts of it, you know? You turn it on, you're resting into it, and then maybe you do the first couple of stages, right? So for example, let's say it goes to the end of the body scan, but then you feel like, okay, that's enough for now, right? So you're easing into it. Right, so kind of look at it like, I remember this example I read about, which I thought was a good example, is when you're easing into a meditation, it's not like you can take the car, if you're driving a car, it doesn't go from 100 kilometers an hour to zero mm-hmm. in 2 seconds, mm-hmm. yeah, like to stop. So the mind is and the body are the same. You have to gear down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you have to go down from 5 to 4 yeah. to 3 to 2 to 1. Yeah, so it has to happen slowly. And for some people, sometimes it's enough to ease into the meditation. Mm-hmm. Just do it in parts. And then eventually you work into the full 12 minutes perhaps. And then maybe you work into longer sessions, but maybe that's not required for that person. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really also too about, you know, let the process happen naturally. And also, what is your intention in practicing meditation? Is it to revitalize yourself, to energize yourself, mm-hmm. is it to ground or to clear your mind or to release emotional and physical stresses? You know, all of these things can happen, but how much time you want to devote into it is up to you. So don't put a lot of stress on yourself to say, I have to meditate for 1 hour a day. That's not necessary. That may happen in the future, but you don't set a goal for it. Because, you know, if we start to set a goal for our meditation practice and say, oh, by this day, I want to be able to meditate 60 minutes, what's going to happen if you don't get to that goal? You know, how does it make you feel? You feel disappointed. That's a kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy, so to speak.
I totally agree. I think this is the problem, or one of the problems in the higher, faster, further society where we lived in, that we, or maybe it's how I think and work. I will plan the whole day, okay, starting at 5:30, wake up, do some sports, working on my first business task, after that breakfast and working and lunch and so and when I don't, and now I will put this meditation 30 minutes into that, and doesn't work, then I am frustrated. Absolutely.
Right.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that you say, okay, awareness, mindfulness, be relaxed, put it in or not, make it short or long. And it's interesting. It motivates me to start with that.
You know, you're talking about everybody has their to-do list more or less, right? But think about what that word is, to do, right? So pretty much I would say that Western society is doers, and we think that in order to get somewhere or in order to feel better, we have to do something, right? So it's actually, you have to kind of flip that around and when it comes, I find, to meditation and also to yoga nidra specifically, right? It's about doing less. It's about actually doing nothing. And oftentimes in meditations, and in the case of yoga nidra, from my experience, it's the moments where I'm in not doing anything or in complete non-doing, that the most transformation happens. Because that's the moment when you start to let go and start to resolve or start to unsuppress emotions, stresses in the body, stresses in the mind. And it all happens effortlessly. In yoga nidra, it happens pretty effortlessly. And that's not to say that there might be some, you know, trauma coming out of people if that's what happened in their past life experiences or impressions. But, you know, more often than not, it happens effortlessly, and we don't need to know. We always want to know where something is coming from. And in the practice of yoga nidra, we don't need to know where did this trauma come from? Where did this suppressed emotion come from? Maybe we don't even know that it's in there, but we just know that it makes us not feel so maybe good. And that when we practice meditation and we practice yoga nidra, especially I find, is that it comes out on its own, effortlessly. I mean, the body is an amazing healing mechanism. And when you put it into the right conditions and you put it into the right scenario, it will do a lot of things on its own to heal itself.
I think this is very difficult for our society. When I, for example, I go to the elevator, anybody goes into the elevator, the first thing is nothing, only one half second later, I take my smartphone, write some emails or read some news. And on the other side, okay, I only say, I could stand there for 2 minutes, breathing, thinking, relaxing. But I think these, especially the smartphone era, I think this is an example that I see a lot of person or every person who doesn't makes or who doesn't take time for thinking about themselves and self-awareness.
It's not even to think about themselves, right? Thinking is like in my mind, I often think that thinking is overrated. Yeah, thinking is overrated sometimes. You know, there's some times in the day where it's the moment where we should just let go of thinking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to do less, mm-hmm. and it's okay to do less. And like I said before, in these moments where we're doing nothing and we can let go of complete doing, those are the moments sometimes where magic, mm-hmm. it's not magic, but you know, the transformation, can happen most effortlessly, and you don't need to know why or where or how, it just does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so in your case, when you're talking about, you know, our conditioning to be looking at our phones or surfing on social media, mm-hmm. it's quite common. But when you're practicing, I find meditation specifically, or yoga nidra, one source of meditation or method of meditation, that all guides you if you practice it a little bit each time. You start off at a pace that feels right for you. Don't force yourself. Then things just start to become calmer and clearer and more grounded, and you observe more, and your perspective shifts on yourself, mm-hmm. on how you see yourself, how you see the world, and how you see yourself in the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is just a process.
Mm-hmm. How do you practice yoga nidra?
For me, when I can, as often as I can, it works in the morning. Mm-hmm. When I get up, before eating, doing anything else, it's just taking about a half an hour, mm-hmm. and lying down on my back and practicing yoga nidra. So I'll practice it either to another teacher's voice, mm-hmm. yeah, and sometimes I'll practice it to myself, yeah, mm-hmm. and or I'll mix that with another meditation, mm-hmm. yeah, not yoga nidra. Yeah, but there's two different meditations that I practice, and morning time seems to be the best for mm-hmm. me. But that can be different from person to person. Mm-hmm. So you know, some people feel better in meditating later in the evening, you know, and so it's really a personal preference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, important is it has to be fit into the right time at the day. Some person are very stressed at the morning, then it doesn't fit so good. But if you have time, or you are the guy to relax in the evening, or you can take time in the evening or at noon, perhaps you use your free time around noon, goes into the park, lie down for 20 minutes in the sun, also can be there in a good situation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, meditation can be practiced in many places, you know, and it doesn't have to be like, maybe there's this perception in the general public that you, like you said earlier, that I have to sit down for 30 minutes to 60 minutes, and it's about my mind going blank. Mm-hmm. It's not about that at all, mm-hmm. yeah? It's just about developing this different relationship with your thoughts, mm-hmm. yeah, in a good way, yeah, so that you allow your thoughts to be observed more easily. You let them come and you let them go more easily. Mm-hmm. You're not kind of holding on to specific thoughts or pushing away specific thoughts. Mm-hmm. They come and they go more easily, and that takes a huge burden off people, mm-hmm. In being able to live the life that they want.
Okay. So an assumption I can say to think, the first thing is, especially in our higher, faster, further society, it is okay when I take time, when I don't work on my to-do list, when I it's okay when I don't when I do nothing. Mm-hmm. And the second one, the meditation method or technique, especially yoga nidra, helps me on a easy way, because laying down, only listening, to work through with my mind through my body, helps me on the physical side, the mental side,
breathing side, emotional side. And also it can also help with people's core beliefs, you know. So maybe somebody has a belief about themselves like, I'm unworthy, I'm not good enough, you know. Mm-hmm. this repeating message, you know. Remember, we go back to this 80% of negative thoughts, right?
Yeah.
So maybe there's this repeating message that comes up through somebody's life that, you know, says, I'm not good enough. And so, you know, yoga nidra, especially through something that makes yoga nidra very unique, I find, is something called a sankalpa. And sankalpa is basically a vow to your highest truth, like something, let's call it an intention. It's not a goal. I don't like to call it a goal. Let's call it an intention, okay? And so this intention is planted at the beginning and then at the end of the yoga nidra. So at the end of the yoga nidra, when you are, let's call it, most decompressed physically, you know, mentally, yeah, open, empty, more clear, resting deeply in deeper brain waves, delta, theta, then it becomes easier to plant this seed into your subconscious mind, yeah, and that will feed it back into the conscious mind when you wake up again. And it's all very effortless. You don't need to do anything about it. You plant it in. Sometimes the teacher, the guide of yoga nidra, will give you a choice of what the message is to plant in, or the sentence, or the mm-hmm. image, mm-hmm. or the word. And then other times you're encouraged to feel it from the heart. Or maybe it's something a little more superficial, you know, like, you know, somebody, let's say, who is a smoker, mm-hmm. You know, their message to themselves is always said in the present tense, as if it was already happening, to make the mind believe it, that it is already happening. So something like, I am smoke free, you know. Yeah. That's a very more superficial kind of sankalpa, but that can lead to more deeper connective intention sankalpas that take you on this more mm-hmm. spiritual path, let's say.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I understand, but I have to have the awareness to change anything, and I have to fix or to speak out my goal, that so I will be smoking free, or
whatever. Maybe you want to be less self-critical of yourself, mm-hmm. or of other people, or you want to have more patience, or, you know, there's a certain habit that you are wanting to let go of, you know. And so the point is that from the smoke-free example, let's say, then maybe if that starts to come about in a person's life, and they start to notice that they're eating better then, you know, mm-hmm. and they feel, you know, less of the urge perhaps maybe to smoke, then, you know, then they can maybe it comes around that their next sankalpa intention will be, I love myself, right? And then maybe after that, it leads to, I am love itself, right? So, you know, you can see how it kind of progresses into this more spiritual, I guess, realm,
mm-hmm.
yeah? And it has some amazing effects and results that I've seen. in myself and also in like other students who have been willing to share their experiences with me. Yeah.
Let's come to the end.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much for having me.
As always, it was very interesting and I learned so many things.
I hope it's helpful for you and anybody else who wants to listen. Yeah,
yeah, I'm sure. Are there something you want to give my audience after that?
I wrote a Yoga Nidra 12 Minutes, which is, mm-hmm. I think... a nice place to start for people who are interested in wanting to practice yoga nidra. Yeah, exactly. And that can be available to your audience, your viewers who are interested in maybe lying down and relaxing into that. And then if they're wanting to, they can explore yoga nidra on our YouTube channel at Peace Out Yoga, at our studio, on our online courses. But they can also, when the studio opens again and we can have people in the studio again one day, maybe they want to drop by, because I find that's a really beautiful and effective atmosphere to do yoga nidra in person, with the energy exchange among the teacher and the students. And other than that, just start slow. Don't put any pressure on yourself to do anything. And start with just a few minutes. Even if you don't start with yoga nidra or a meditation, if you just start with like going out and taking a walk in nature somewhere, which is always very grounding. Like, notice how you feel when you walk barefoot somewhere. Mm-hmm. How do you feel when you walk in the sand or the grass barefoot for a while?
Not great.
After a few minutes, you're starting to get out of your mind. You're starting to get out of your thoughts a little bit more. So the monkey mind is starting to relax a little bit. So just doing even simple things like that until you feel like you're ready to want to meditate and or try a yoga nidra, for example. So those are some ideas for people in starting off maybe their yoga or their meditation journey.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very practical tips. Thank you for that.
Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, it's been
a
pleasure.
Namaste. Thank you very much.